Maggie.
Hi, this is Mark Ruffalo, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned in to the WGXC Morning Show. We are in Hudson today, actually, because on Thursdays we talk with Roger Hennigan-Gilson, the Hudson Valley reporter for the Times Union, about what he's been working on. We'll talk to him in just a few minutes. We'll also speak with Mike Amari and Liam Singer from the Chosen Family Zine. They'll preview concerts coming to the area in February this month. Plus, we'll hear national headlines from the Public News Service. We'll hear the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And Philip Grant has the local news next on the WGXC Morning Show. Live today from Hudson, we're on Warren Street, coming at you at 90.7 FM. Stay tuned.
This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This Thursday will be the Thingularity Radio Show at 7 p.m. here on WGXC. And we're going to talk about all the things that Twitter won't show you.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wayfarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Tyler Burton in Hudson, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Dan Clark in the Times Union looks into what would happen if former President Donald Trump picks Representative Elise Stefanik as his vice presidential candidate. Stefanik, who represents Rensselaer County and the rest of the 21st Congressional District, would be the first nominee for vice president from New York since Buffalo area Representative Jack Kemp was picked by Bob Dole in 1996. The local Republican leaders would get to handpick her replacement in Congress. Martin Connor, who is considered one of the state's top election attorneys, said, and I quote, "Someone nominated for an office who is later nominated for a different office may decline the first office," end quote. Stefanik would first have to win her June 25th primary election to be the Republican nominee in her district. Jill Lochner, who has worked in early childhood development, announced a run for the Republican nomination last year, but Stefanik is the incumbent. Then Trump could announce Stefanik as VP anytime, but she wouldn't officially become the party's nominee until July, when the Republican National Convention is scheduled for Milwaukee. After running for vice president is filed with New York State, Stefanik would have until, and I quote, not later than the third day after the filing, end quote, to formally decline her nomination for Congress. Then a majority of the members of the local Republican committee in each county of Stefanik's district would meet and vote for a new Republican nominee for the 21st congressional district. Of course, all this is based on Trump's picking Stefanik, which may be a long shot, as he recently publicly mispronounced her last name. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Brianna Fuss reports for New York State of Politics that New York's Farm Bureau's top priorities for 2024 include the switch to electric power, producer responsibilities, funding, and getting food into New York schools. The Farm Bureau wants New York to expand the Nourish New York and Healthy School Meals for All programs, where pantries and food banks and school breakfasts and lunches are full of locally grown food. The Bureau also wants legislation that would allow direct-to-customer shipping for all New York-produced farm beverages, including beer, cider, and spirits. The Farm Bureau is pushing back against going fully electric until, they say, there are reliable battery-powered tractors and machinery for farms. David Fisher, president of the New York Farm Bureau, said, and I quote, "We just need a common-sense, reliable energy policy and not go too far too fast. We must get this right for the sake of food production," end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Michael Ryan from the Mountain Eagle reports that the town of Windom will consider a dog park for the Windom Path along State Route 23 with a February 1st public hearing. Town Supervisor Thomas Hoyt said, and I quote, "This is something that has been on the back burner for a year or so. There were other things going on back then, like a new ambulance building, and now interest is being shown again," end quote. Now the town has a full proposal that includes a walking path around the perimeter, shade trees, drinking fountains, lighting, and agility equipment. Hoyt said an unnamed private group is raising money for the park, but said a combination of funding sources could emerge. Initial estimates for the park are between $37,700 to $50,900. And you can read more about this story in Porcupine Sioux. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, or community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
As Black History Month begins, people are looking at how to close New York's racial wage gap. Between 2010 and 2020, the state's wage gap shrank by only a few $1,000s. Then came the pandemic. On a national scale, this brought the gap to a new low. Melissa Charles is a New York City restaurant worker. She relies mostly on tips from her work to support her and her disabled son. Charles describes how disproportionate wages for Black workers impact her.
I'm not able to afford sometimes childcare for my son because it's just me alone with him, as well as in terms of sometimes affording rent to pay my bills.
She adds it's also challenging to afford household items such as groceries and clothes, but tipped wage jobs like Charles's have negative impacts on women. Labor advocacy organization One Fair Wage finds that Black women in front-of-house food service jobs earn $2.57 per hour less than men. Overall, 22% of Black women said tips don't cover the difference between minimum and sub-minimum wage. In New York, women of color face more of a gap in their pay. A 2023 New York State Department of Labor report finds Black women are paid almost 68 cents for every dollar men earn. Charles notes the city and state of New York can provide child care assistance to help people like her.
Sometimes we make enough just to pay rent, so child care assistance would help in this type of situation.
Child care is often a challenge on any salary since research finds it costs almost $1,300 per month in New York. This equates to more than $15,000 per year. In the enacted 2024 budget, Governor Kathy Hochul created the Workforce Retention Grant Program, allocating $500 million in underutilized federal funds as grants for eligible child care programs. This is Edwin J. Vieira for New York News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, February 1st. Local early morning temperatures range from 25 degrees in Red Hook to 31 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 35 degrees. Fog will be rolling around early today, shouldn't last long after sunup. We get a high of 43 degrees at 1 p.m. After dark, some light rain shows up, possibly turning to negligible snow as temperatures drop to 35 degrees. Tomorrow should be dry with a high of 41. It will still be pretty cloudy. Overnight, we see some moderate wind gusts kick up and temperatures drop to 26 degrees. Saturday will be sunny with a high of only 38 degrees. Sunday, a little better, sunny with a high of 41. And just a heads up for the organic farmers out there. If you plan to use manure this year, the time to spread it, or at least think about spreading it, is here. June is 4 months away. Sunset today will be at 4:54 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:04 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 5%. Plasma winds will be average at 420 kilometers per second, with a thin density of 3 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently okay below 4 MHz till dark, then fair below 60 MHz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 75. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
And you are tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. I'm Tom Rowe, live in Hudson. And now on the phone with us is the Hudson Valley correspondent for the Times Union, Roger Hannigan-Gilson, who has been in Saugerties this week.
Yes, just a little north of, or south, that's the direction of where I normally am. But, you know, I scoop down there once in a while. I worked on an article. It's a little local history article, which I always find interesting. It's about the first Lutherans in the Hudson Valley, which, I mean, that kind of understates it. The character I spoke about, the Reverend Joshua Cockerall, he was one of the first three Lutheran ministers in the U.S., like, ever. He was a Palatine German. These were, you know, Protestants, Lutherans that lived in what is now today Germany. Although, you know, this is going back a while. This is around 1700. So the, you know, national lines were not what they were today. But
it might have been Prussia for a while. It might have been Poland for a while.
Yeah. And, you know, there was like centuries of persecution and warfare between Catholics and Protestants on the continent. And they were affected by that because they, you know, lived in a Catholic part of Europe. So they were persecuted, but eventually came to England around 1700, you know, which was a Protestant nation at the time under Queen Anne. So some of them kind of temporarily settled there, but they were on their way to the U.S. I guess it wasn't the U.S. at the time, but, you know, the New World or whatever you want to call it. Not that people weren't living there for many centuries beforehand, just not Europeans. So they came over in, what year was it, 1709. It was a perilous journey, as was transatlantic voyages during that period. They came with, like, the Queen's blessing. She gave them silver, agricultural tools, and gave them 500 acres of native land, which wasn't really her to give, but that's how it was done. So they originally landed in Newburgh. They named it Newburgh. It was spelled differently at the time. It's based off a small city that was in the Palatine at the time. They stayed there. They kind of like wintered there. And then the next year, they started settling the area around Saugerties, which they called West Camp, it being on the west side of the Hudson River, and then also East Camp, which is where Germantown is right now, on the east side of the river. Cokerthal, he went back to England the next year, and he had originally only come with a few dozen people, but the second time he came across, he came with 3,000 people, more than one ship. This voyage was, like, completely disastrous, even for the day. Hundreds of people died. It took many months to cross the Atlantic. It was freezing. And then when they landed, there was a fever that killed dozens of more people. You know, they really wanted to come to America. When they came back to Saugerties, the Lutheran church was set up that's now called St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church. It was originally just like a log cabin. They wanted it up quickly so they could worship. It's an existing congregation. It's been in five or six different buildings since then, but there is a St. Paul still in West Camp. And that structure dates from 1871. So that's even like a pretty old building. But the older building, the older one, is the Reverend's home, which, you know, was constructed in the early 1700s. He died in 1719. He was not very old. He was around 40. But, you know, he founded this congregation, and it was kind of the Palatine Germans were kind of like a big force in the Hudson Valley in the early days in the 1700s. And it wasn't that they didn't just like settle Saugerties and Germantown. That was kind of the setting off point, but they established outposts and like villages up and down the Hudson, well, north of Newburgh, up towards Saratoga and then the Mohawk Valley, and also northern New Jersey and parts of Pennsylvania. I got this great map that, you know, it's from a couple decades after Cokerthal passed away, but it just kind of like lists all the Palatine German settlements up and down. And, you know, they kind of spread pretty quickly. You know, I mean, don't get the impression that, you know, you just like walked through the area and you're bumping into people. It was still, you know, sparsely populated by Europeans. But, you know, they kind of geographically spread pretty quickly.
Yes, and there's still lots of German resorts and German influence, I guess, in the area. I always thought of Germantown, I guess, as German, but I never thought of Saugerties as particularly German before.
There's like a few German towns around. That's like the town Germantown, but then there's like you know, kind of areas and hamlets also called Germantown. I mean, that's kind of like a national thing too. You know, if you wanted to name a place and there happened to be a lot of German speaking people, you're like, oh yeah, Germantown, and that eventually became the name. But Saugerties was originally kind of founded by the Palatine Germans. Where the village is right now, West Camp is, you know, outside that. It's within the town of Saugerties, but, you know, they kind of, like, spread out and were in the, where the village is right now. But, like, the church itself was in West Camp, which is a bit north of Saugerties, of the village of Saugerties. It's still within the town of Saugerties.
Yes, it's always good to see local history in the newspaper, and I guess it's also good to see long-term reporting. I guess you've been working on some long-term stories, too, this week.
Yeah, yeah. It's a start of something that's going to not be coming out till May, but we just held a meeting at this Times Union where everyone like pitched long story ideas, stuff that would take like weeks or months, and so I'm kind of starting off on that. Don't worry, I will be producing short-term articles in the meantime that I can talk about, but it's an opportunity to land big fish, and I'm happy about that. I gotta do that like shady thing where I'm like, I can't tell you what I'm working on though. But stay tuned, everyone.
Yes, but it's great to see that kind of long-term local journalism. So thank you, Roger Hannigan-Gilson from the Times Union, for joining us again this week, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Yeah, talk to you then. Thanks a lot, Tom.
All right, bye-bye. And now we are joined by Mike Amari and Liam Singer from the Chosen Family Zine. And Mike also books local shows, and Liam also owns the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. But you also together, with putting together the zine, put together a long list of local events. And every month we go over some of them. And it looks like there's a lot of things to do in February.
It's all true.
Yeah, surprisingly big show paper for February, which we'll post on the Chosen Family Instagram tomorrow morning. And then I also put it on the website, chosenfamilypresents.com. We're still in our sort of winter break on the actual zine, the actual physical show paper. So that won't be out there until April again. But we still put as much love and attention into the show paper, even when we're not making the actual zine. This month was no exception. It was like, I think we have like over 100,
like 125 events, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like events, not, mm-hmm. We don't put like happy hour and all that kind of stuff, which, yeah.
And it also comes after there was, six in January.
Yeah. There was not a lot happening in January for sure.
And three of them got canceled.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But yeah, we try to keep it mostly to shows, dance parties, and then the occasional, theatrical performance or art opening or movie screening. Lots to do. Valentine's Day is obviously sort of the
New Year's Day of February.
the something happening.
I think it's like one of those things too, where like Valentine's Day is kind of like a week and a half long span now, where it's right. Like things before Valentine's Day, things on Valentine's Day,
I think
after Valentine's
Day. Valentine's Day is probably the earliest Valentine's Day event, right? What day is that?
That's on the 9th. So that's Al Olander Valentine's Day. And that's like a local, it's kind of, I mean, it was really big last year. It's at the Old Dutch Church in Kingston, big, beautiful venue. She brings in a lot of like special guests and collaborators, and it's a very like collaborative set, mm-hmm. One big set with special guests. And that like almost sold out last year. I don't know if it's close to selling out now, but definitely worth checking out.
Then on Valentine's Day itself, plenty happening. Connor Kennedy is doing one of his VFW honky tonk nights.
Oh yeah, bringing it back, because it was Wednesdays in the summer.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah. And Camp St. Helene's doing a video release and special show at Avalon. Also, Brian DeWan's doing his Valentine's show the next night at Avalon on the 15th.
That is an annual tradition.
Yes. What else is going on?
There's also this Bob Marley. So there's that Bob Marley biopic coming out.
Yeah.
And so that's premiering on Valentine's Day at Orpheum in Saugerties, Upstate Films. And they also have a band playing before the film, I think, right? Not after, before. So that could be fun. There's a lot. I mean, all the venues, all the bars who do shows, everyone's pretty much doing something like on Valentine's Day.
One thing I noticed this month, Park Theater in Hudson is really kind of going for it. They're really on regular programming now, something every weekend.
I did notice that too.
And a pretty good variety of stuff. Some
national people coming through and some local people too, right?
Yeah.
I did, similar to Valentine's Day, I did notice like a Mardi Gras event
Oh, for sure.
Which is at Keegan Ales, which is a local brass band called Bottoms Up Dixieland Jazz Band. And that event, which is on the 13th, 5 p.m., so like getting out of work, go to Keegan's. There's going to be a brass band. It's free, and they have a free buffet of like jambalaya, you know, like
that's
like,
awesome.
Yeah, so that one I'm going to highly recommend.
That sounds great.
If you're on a tight budget, that's a good show.
There were two that jumped out to us at Colony. Ladysmith Black Mambazo, of course.
Yeah, almost sold out. So if you are thinking of going to that show, jump on those tickets right now.
And then where was the other?
Squirrel Flower?
Yes, with Greg Mendez and Babe Hoven opening. Local indie heroes Babe Hoven and Greg Mendez is from Philly. He played Avalon last year and sort of in the Elliott Smith-ish camp of songwriters, really excellent. That's a pretty cool show.
What's the date on that one?
Good cue. Having trouble finding it.
216. 216. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like that whole week, the weekend before and through the weekend after Valentine's Day is pretty stacked up. Mm-hmm. This was pretty funny. This event called Raw.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is at Mito in Woodstock. I haven't been there. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Mito, it's like a new sushi place in Woodstock. So it's sushi and like DJs. And like at first I was like, oh, that's weird. But then I was like, sushi is like the perfect fuel.
Yeah, it fills you up, but it's not heavy.
Yeah, you can just kind of, you know, piece by piece, you know, as you need it. So maybe they're onto something there. I don't know. That's called Raw, mm-hmm. and that is that's on the 17th.
Woodstock with the most new venues.
Popping up there. It's great. Always a bunch of cool stuff happening at Tubby's. This month, tomorrow, Chris Brokaw, Bill Nason, Alan Licht, the three pretty killer experimental guitarists. And then shortly after, Booker Stardrum and Fote. That's a cool double bill.
Yeah, they've been killing it. The Steve Gunn show there this month is sold out, but there's Yonatan Gott and like some and the Chris Brokaw show. Like if you want some sort of slightly out there guitar driven stuff,
it should probably be mentioned that we are playing a show, you and I.
Yeah, that's right. us and XC Davis as well at the Utility Bicycle Works in Kingston, the best small tiny there. People are competing for what the smallest venue in the Hudson Valley, and I think right now they're winning. I think like,
yeah, you said maybe 35 people can fit in there.
Yeah, I mean it's like in the summer when it's nice, you know, you can kind of do a little more and people can hang outside, but so that'll be a cozy little show. That's on the 25th, Sunday, which it unfortunately is the same night as Sparrow plays Nero
at
the Falcon, which is, I mean, I love that Laura Nero's kind of, you know, coming back around and being appreciated. And, you know, we also, at the end of the show paper, when we post online, we put some reoccurring events. We put some awesome karaoke and, like, open mic stuff.
And we always invite people to comment with more events because we always miss stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, check out Chosen Family Presents on Instagram or go to chosenfamilypresents.com. And, like, as of tomorrow morning, this new show paper will be up, and we do it at the top of every month. You can also send in your events ahead of time. All the information's on those sites. And get out and support a local venue, a local band, local DJ.
What is the mask situation at the moment? I was in New York City this weekend, and I'd say like at shows, maybe 10% of people were wearing masks.
Yeah, it's usually about, I'd say, 5 to 10% right now. And dance parties, too. We have people show up for dance parties and stay masked the whole night.
You get a sense that your audience is some percentage of is sick?
I mean, it's been a quiet month, and I think, you know,
some people everyone expected to show up didn't show up.
I think everyone knows someone who got, you know, COVID or the flu or RSV or something this month if they didn't get it themselves. It's just sort of been one of those months.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like the new reality for winter programming. You know, performers get, you know, are more likely to get sick. You know, members of bands, whole tours get sidetracked sometimes. I mean, I think it's like, you know, if you feel like you might have been exposed or you're not feeling 100%, like, you know, I don't know, like, it's better to just not go, I think.
And for, in terms of performers, everyone just understands these days that, you know, this stuff happens and a show might get called off.
But it seemed like it was happening a little more last winter that shows got called off.
So
maybe it's getting a little better.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's. Do we have anything else to mention? Do we forget anybody?
There's tons on here. I guess there was a rave happening at that that Big Cat in Kingston, which, you know, just they only seem to have shows once in a while there. So Kingston Techno, it seems like a newer crew that's putting on.
Oh, I know
parties.
Caro Gallery has a show this Sunday.
It got postponed last Sunday.
Lily Konigsberg and
Who's also playing Avalon with Melted Milk later in February. I don't remember who else is on that, but yeah, always fun to go out and support them in Caro.
Nonchalant Gallery, should have said. Then we have a show with Glockabel at the American Legion in Delhi, February 17th, with DJ Spooky, Yuka Honda, Dan Dirks, and Marcus, a DJ. We'll have a live webcast and broadcast.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a great lineup.
All right. Anything else?
I think that's it.
We'll be back in March with – is there an idea of March 1st?
No, it's in the middle of the month. Yeah.
But I'm already looking forward to it. So.
Same.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
China's hackers are positioning on American infrastructure in preparation to wreak havoc and cause real-world harm to American citizens and communities if and when China decides the time has come to strike.
FBI Director Christopher Wray says Chinese hackers are in position for an assault on national and economic security and calls that the defining threat of our generation. Wray testified to Congress the hackers have or want access to critical infrastructure, including water treatment plants, electrical grids, oil and natural gas pipelines, and transportation systems.
Would you like to do so now?
Well,
they're here. You're on national television. Would you like now to apologize to the victims who have been harmed by your product? Show them the pictures. Would you like to apologize for what you've done to these good people?
In a contentious congressional hearing, Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley forced Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg to apologize for victims of social media child sexual exploitation. After Hawley's speech, Zuckerberg said he is sorry to families in the audience holding pictures of young people, many of whom had committed suicide. CEOs of Meta, X, TikTok, Discord, and Snap testified. Snap CEO Evan Spiegel also apologized. Many family members later said they were surprised but found the apologies insincere. Meanwhile, the White House is calling for legislation against explicit deepfake AI images, like recent ones of pop icon Taylor Swift. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says given lax enforcement of internal rules by the companies, the images are too common and disproportionately hurt women.
Social media companies make their own independent decisions about content management. They have an important role in enforcing their own rules. Congress should take legislative action. It is alarming to us, and we're going to continue to do what we can from the federal government.
In response to the deep fakes, Swift's fans flooded social media with positive images intended to drown the explicit pictures out of search results. An Illinois Board of Elections committee has voted unanimously to keep former President Donald Trump on the ballot. Residents sought to bar him using the 14th Amendment prohibition on insurrectionists in office, given January 6th. But Trump's lawyer Adam Merrill says it's the right decision under the state election law.
Section 10-10. Simply does not give the board the authority to weigh into complicated federal constitutional issues.
Karen Lederer represents Free Speech for People, the group seeking to keep Trump off the ballot. She says they'll appeal.
This is a very controversial case, and so we expected that it would be resolved on appeal, and that's where we're headed.
Similar cases in a number of states are pending or being appealed. Some courts have ruled against barring Trump from the primary, but have left room for action ahead of the general election. And hanging over all of this is an appeal on a ruling from Colorado that the U.S. Supreme Court plans to hear next week. I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2023, an Eighth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals upheld a lower court's radical ruling that Arkansas voters did not have the right to sue under the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Despite being widely panned as a fringe ruling, the Eighth Circuit refused to rehear the case January 30th. The Arkansas State Conference of the NAACP and the Arkansas Public Policy Panel, represented by the ACLU, contested racially gerrymandered statehouse maps under the Voting Rights Act Section 2. In 2022, an Eighth Circuit federal district court ignored decades of private right of action precedent allowing voters, civil rights groups, and democracy advocates to bring suit to protect the rights of voters. The court restricted standing only to the U.S. Department of Justice, though for the moment it applies only to states in the Eighth Circuit: Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. The decision started a chain reaction in the Eighth Circuit and other districts, with anti-voter state officials attempting to reopen VRA cases they'd lost, including in North Dakota and Louisiana. Other district courts refused those requests. Taking a case to the U.S. Supreme Court would likely be a gamble, given the willingness of the court's most conservative and radical justices to gut the Voting Rights Act. We have more on the case and the groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
That was the Sun Watchers with their 2020 hit Brave Rats, the title track from their 2020 album Brave Rats.
I was dancing when I was 12. I was dancing when I was 12. I was dancing when I was out. I was dancing when I was out. I danced myself right out the womb. I danced myself right out the womb. Is it strange to dance so soon? I danced myself right out the womb. I was dancing when I was 8. I was dancing when I was 8. Is it strange to dance so late? Is it strange to dance so late? Myself into the tomb. Is it strange to dance so soon? I dance myself into the tomb. Is it too wrong to understand the fear that dwells inside a man? What's it like to be alone? I like a need to have a load. I dance myself out of the womb. I dance myself out of the womb. Strange to dance so soon. I dance myself into the tomb. And then again, once more, I dance myself out of the womb. I dance myself out of the womb. Is it strange to dance so soon? Dance myself out of the womb.
when there is no sun. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. When there is no sun to light the way, there is no day. Of darkness when there is no sun. The sky is a sea of darkness when there is no sun to light the way. When there is no sun to light the way, there is no day.
That was Sun Ra with When There Is No Sun.